Hi everyone and welcome to InChrist Singapore. I pray all is well with you and all is well with your families, and I'm happy that we can still continue to meet on the internet and have that possibility for the time being. Before I go into the word today, I want to make announcement in regards to what Marketplace Ministry is organizing. And they're organizing a conference that is going to take place through Zoom on four different Saturdays, and it's called Transformed Working Life, and it's being organized by our Marketplace Ministry together with ICCC, which is International Christian Chamber of Commerce. And I just want to encourage you, especially during times like this where we need all this input and encouragement when it comes to our work and when it comes to our business, to make time to be a part of it and join in it. And you will find the registration link on the screen right now, or information where you can find more information on the screen right now, as well in the comment section. And I also want to encourage us to use this as an opportunity to reach out to friends and families and invite them as well to come and join us. And today, before I go into the word today, I would like to pray together with us. Thank you, Father God. Father, we just worship you and we praise you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for everything that you have done for us, Lord. Father, we just want to come before you this morning as we come into your presence. We just pray that you manifest your presence in our homes, you manifest your presence in our lives, in our surroundings, God. And Father, I just pray that as the word will go forth today, may it accomplish everything that you have called it to accomplish, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last Sunday, I started to speak about our identity in Christ. And today I will continue on the same lines and speak about our identity in Christ in relation to the inheritance that we have received. And we started to look upon what it means to be in Christ and in relation to be accepted, in relation to be loved, in relation to be adopted into the family of God. And it's so important for us as adopted children that we have become children of God. We are no less children of God just because we have been adopted into the family. But everything that belongs to everything that Christ did for us on the cross now belongs to us. All the inheritance, the blessings, the things that God has in store for us. But the thing is that we need to be aware of it. In order for us to receive it, we also need to be aware of it. We need to know what it is in order to see it also manifested around us. And sometimes we hear stories about children that have been switched at birth, that have ended up going home with the wrong families and even been raised by a family that was not their blood family. And there's a story in a newspaper that speaks about one of those cases that happened in Japan, in Tokyo, Japan. And it happened in one of those hospitals where two boys were switched at birth by a mistake. And one of them ended up, ended up going to two very different homes. So the one who had been born into a life of prosperity in a sense, where he should have been able to go to get a very good education, have everything he needed, and come with a great inheritance, ended up being raised by a single mother because his father passed away very soon, and in a big poverty where he had to fight for his life and fight for his everyday to be able to sustain himself. So it was not until 60 years later that the mistake came to light. So for 60 years, those two boys had been living one another's lives. So the one who had actually should have inherited and grown up becoming a, getting a good education and all of those material things ended up being someone that was raised up in poverty because of a mistake that had happened. Just because he did not know his identity, or as he said it, his identity had been withheld from him. And only because of that reason, he did not live the life that he was originally being born into. And when I look upon our lives as believers, I see such a similarity between that and our own lives. Because if we don't know what God has given us through Christ, if we don't know what it means to be children of God, if we don't know what He has inherited us with, then we will never live up to it fully. We will never believe for it, expect it, and trust God for it. And as we look upon our inheritance in Christ, some of it is spiritual inheritance, and some of it is physical inheritance. And it is so much that we have as co-heirs with Christ, that it would probably take a long time to go through all of those things. But there are a few things I want to mention today. And if we go to Romans 8, 16 to 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So if we are children of God, that means, as the Bible says, that we are also heirs. So, and the same thing from a natural perspective, if someone is somebody's child, no matter if it's adopted child, or no matter if it's their own blood children, they will inherit certain things because of the family they belong to. But from a Christian perspective as well, if we don't know, we don't see it. If we don't understand it, we can live like the Japanese man, not knowing our inheritance and missing out on the things that God has given us. And not only given us in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense. Of all the goodness that He has in store for us, if we don't know it, we can live our lives just like the Japanese man. We can live our lives so far from the potential that God has for us. And the first thing I want to mention today in relation to our inheritance is that we are transformed into the image of Christ. And as we spoke about last Sunday, we spoke about that we are loved by God. We are adopted by God. And the thing is that as children of God, and as children in general, there are different genes that come with the fact that they are the children of the parents that they belong to. There are different things they start to imitate because they see their parents do it as well. And you know, we hear so often, oh, you have your father's eyes, or somebody has their father's ears, or we hear, oh, that person, this lady is just as beautiful as her mother, or that boy is just as handsome as his father. And we hear those things because there are things that we inherit because of where we come from. And looking at that from a spiritual and Christian perspective, it says in Romans 8:26, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ's Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So what had God intended for us? He had intended for all of His adopted children, all of those children that had become His, to be conformed into the image of His Son, to step by step take on the Christ-likeness that Jesus demonstrated to us as He walked the earth. And sometimes we think about people, oh, this person really, or we speak about people, this person really won the gene lottery in relation to that area or in relation to their look or whatever it is. But how much more have we not won the lottery in that sense when it comes to our genes in God, when it comes to our spiritual gene, when it comes to our spiritual inheritance, that yes, we can look at the physical things and from the physical side of things, but in relation to what God has given us in Christ, we have really, in a sense, if we just pause for a moment and think about it, God has even set us up for a success. Because he has given us everything in his Son to accomplish the life that we have been called to on this earth. And that doesn't mean that we don't go through challenging times. That doesn't mean that there are things at times that we feel burdened by and so on and so on. But we need to know that everything that we need, we already have in Christ to get through those things. And John 14:12 tells us, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. You know, looking at a parent-children relationship, most parents, good parents, would like their children to succeed more than them in life, would like them to reach further than they have reached. And they want the things that they build up in their lifetime to be a legacy for their children to even bring further and further and be able to reach higher and higher. And in the same perspective we see here in relation to God. Because Jesus says, I go to my Father, but you will do the same works I do, but you will do greater works than I have done. Because he wants us to succeed and he wants us to do even greater things. Because not through our own strength and our own ability, but through the ability of the Holy Spirit to be able to accomplish all that he has called us to. And he longs to lead us. He longs us to receive and experience all his inheritance. He doesn't want to keep anything away from us. But we need to learn and realize what it is and then step by step grow in those areas. And next Sunday, I will speak further on how through Jesus, we can overcome sin, which is a part of our Christ-likeness, that we can build up that character in our lives of being able to build up greater holiness. And in all of those things, when it comes to the Christ-likeness, it's not our own doing. It's through the help of the Holy Spirit. And as today is Pentecost Sunday, I believe it's important and we cannot overemphasize the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And because it is through that presence, it is through his leading, it is through his help that we can actually become and get a revelation of who we are in him. And as children of God, one of our inheritance is that we have the Holy Spirit on our side. We have him with us all the time. He is here with us to lead us, to help us, to be with us through whatever things we may need to overcome. And we need to realize as believers, there is inheritance that we receive in this lifetime, but we will receive the fullness of it when we come to heaven. But that doesn't mean that all the inheritance will start in heaven. That when we come to heaven, then we can say, oh, now I'm finally healed. Now I'm finally without worry. Now I'm finally without fear. No, because the thing is about the inheritance of God is that in this lifetime, we start to experience them, but in the eternity, we will see the fullness of it. We will see the perfection of it. So how can we be so secure that we are heirs? And what is the proof or the seal that God has given us? How can we be so secure as believers that we will even receive the fullness of it one day when we leave this life? And what God has for us. So how can I know what is it that God has given us that can make us so secure in him and so secure in that what he has said is true? Of course, we know that as the word tells us, God does not back on his word. But we find as well that God has given us His Holy Spirit as a guarantee that everything He has promised will not only start in this lifetime, but also in the eternity to come, that He will accomplish everything that He has said that He will accomplish. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:5, "Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." So the Greek word is arabon, which is a deposit or a guarantee, a deposit or a guarantee. And it's kind of a business term meaning, as a, it can also have the sense of a down payment. In other words, the Spirit is God's guarantee that He won't one day pay up in full, that He will, everything that He has said, He will do. He has given us the Holy Spirit. So in this lifetime, we start to experience His promises. We are children of God. We are heirs of the promises. We have a stand before Him in righteousness. We have been accepted. We are loved. And the Holy Spirit is doing that deep work within us. But not only that, but it's a guarantee that everything He has said will be accomplished. When we leave this earth as well, we will see the fullness of the promises that God has given us. We will see the fullness of eternity and all that He is preparing for us. So it's such a wonderful news to know that as a believer, that the Spirit of God has been given to us, and it speaks of that guarantee. In a sense, like some would maybe put the picture of an engagement ring, that when a person puts the engagement ring, it's kind of like a guarantee. The next step is to get married. But in similar ways, that's with God, that He has given us the Spirit of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that the next step, that He is preparing us for eternity. But now in this lifetime, through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit presence in our life, we can already experience eternity and the life that He has for us. And that's the beauty of it. The Spirit of God is a foretaste and helps us to experience the heavenly presence right here, right now. It helps us to experience God in our everyday walk, right now, right here, and tomorrow and the day after. And Ephesians 1:13-14 says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." So again, it speaks about He is the guarantee of our inheritance, but it also says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit living within us is the proof that God has given us His glorious inheritance, and that He is going to bring that inheritance to a full completion in us. And it's also important to note that the more we allow the Spirit of God to work within us, we will become more and more transformed into the presence, into the image of Christ-likeness. So what is Paul saying with, you have been sealed? You have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when we look upon the ancient world, a seal was a form of identification used to authenticate or protect legal documents, as well as sealing was a sign of security and ownership. Isn't that wonderful? So in other words, God has actually put His stamp on you and said, you are mine. When we received Jesus Christ, we became His. And as children of God, we also carry that, in a sense, that stamp that the promises of God, the inheritance of God, belong to us. And not only in the lifetime to come, but also now, here, in this moment of time, we can start to live out that life and live out the destiny, in a sense, or the callings that God has for us. And it's through the Holy Spirit as well that we sense the love of God. You know, sometimes we think about, wow, what is going to be when we come to heaven? What a wonderful thing it will be to see all the different nations, the tribes, the tongues come together and just worship God in one spirit. And at the same time, as we look forward to that, we also need to realize, yes, but His presence is still here with us today. When we worship Him today, we can experience heaven. We can experience that presence that fills heaven. We can experience His closeness to us today. Not only then, but today. Of course, we cannot imagine fully the experience of how it is to be with all the tribes and the tongues coming before the throne of God and worshiping Him, worshiping Jesus. But still in our own prayer time, in our own closet today, we can have a taste of heaven. We can see Him. We can know Him. We can learn and we can grow in our understanding of Him and in our depth of our relationship with Him. And it's also so important to know that we have been positioned as children of God. One of our inheritance is that we have received authority. And if ever we need to be reminded of it, isn't it now? Because there is power in our words. There is power in the things that we say. There is power in our prayer. And Ephesians 2, 5 to 6 says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So what has Christ done for us? Yes, we are here on this earth, but still the Bible says our spiritual realities is that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And where is Christ seated? He is seated above all principalities and power. His name is above every other name. And that is the spiritual setting that you and me as believers, we find ourselves in. And that's one of our inheritance that we cannot forget. Because if we lose sight of who we are, the enemy will be able to bring us further and forth down the rabbit hole so that we feel like, I am nothing. I have nothing. It doesn't matter how much I pray. It doesn't matter how much I speak out the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how much I believe in the word. Nothing happens. Nothing takes place. I've tried it so many times. And he can start to play around with our thoughts. But we need to, just like the Japanese boy in the story that I said at the beginning, he did not know his inheritance. We led to a life of poverty instead of life of prosperity. And the same thing with us. If we don't know what belongs to us, if we don't know that God has given us the name of Jesus Christ so that we can, as the Bible says, we can even, you know, whatever things are in the way of the will of God, we can use that name. We can pray. And sometimes it may take time, but we never should give up on doing good and praying and believing for the Lord's restoration in our lives if that is what we're believing for. Because in the life of Jesus, we see that there was nothing he could not do. What did Jesus say? What did I mention before? He said, "You will do the same things I do, but greater things you will do." Because if Jesus had overcome every demon, if Jesus was able to heal the sick, the only reason he could not heal the sick was because of unbelief. And not saying that is the only reason people are not healed today. There can be different reasons. But I'm just saying that in the life of Jesus, we find that there was nothing impossible for him. And Jesus still says, "Greater things you will do when you follow me, when you trust in me." And that doesn't mean all of it will come on a silver platter, but it's a walk. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk that every day we believe to see greater things for the kingdom of God in our work and among our families, in our surrounding. Because we believe in a God that can do the impossible possible. It's a fact. So knowing the authority that has been given to us, I heard this story about a lady that was walking down one of the streets in her hometown, and she was attacked by a thief, let's use that instead. And the thief, as he attacked her, he was threatening her. And she had been, I think, in a Bible study or something, and she had been learning about Psalm 91 and the protection of God. And in that moment, she just thought, she couldn't remember the Bible verses. The only thing that came to her mind was feathers. So coming from verse 4, where it says, "He shall cover you with his feathers," in Psalm 91. But she couldn't remember the sentence. She couldn't remember anything else but feathers. So she just started screaming, "Feathers, feathers, feathers." And that was enough for the thief to get a little bit of a fear and run away. And it just shows that there is power in the word of God. There is power in when we speak out the word. There is power when we use the name of Jesus. Things are taking place in the spiritual, even though we don't always see it automatically right in front of us in the natural. But they are happening. And we need to, the more we know it, the more we can also envision it in the spiritual world, what is taking place when we speak out, when we pray, when we stand on the word of God. And the last thing I want to focus on today is that God has called us, as one of our inheritance, is that God has called us to a life of abundance. And because God has called us to both be blessed, spiritual blessings as well as physical blessings. And some of the physical blessings we can look at, it would be healing and prosperity. He has not called us to poverty. He has not called us to sickness. And God wants it to be well with us in every area of our life. Because what testimony is that to someone if everything in our life is just going wrong and we live that year after year after year after year, and like always under our circumstances, always feeling oppressed by everything, and there's this fear, there's this worry. At the end of the day, that wouldn't be a very nice testimony to the world. But of course, there can be a testimony but there is a testimony in seeing the hand of God upon our life, how he was the one who brought us through, how he was the one who healed us, how he was the one who helped us through a financial difficult time, and showed that he is the covenantal partner that he has promised to be with us. And when we look upon prosperity, prosperity is having more than enough so that your needs are met, but you can also meet the needs of others. Prosperity, because prosperity and prosperity teaching has maybe got a little bit of a bad stamp on itself, because at times it has been taken too far. But we can also be at the other side of it, that we take it too far to the other ditch, so that we don't even believe in the blessings of God. We don't even believe that God wants us to prosper. Because prosperity in itself is not negative, but it's the way, it's the attitude of the heart, how we look upon it. Because when God prospers us, he doesn't do it only for our own sake, but that out of the overflow of our lives, out of the overflow of our finances and so on, we can be a blessing to his kingdom, to his church, to the people around us. And we also need to realize that prosperity needs to be measured in so much more than money. Because prosperity is the wholeness in every area of our life. It's to be whole in our spirit, soul, and body. It's not just the financial part of it, but it's the whole area of who we are, what God has intended for us, what God has called us to. And just like, again, the story about the Japanese guy, if we don't know, if we don't expect, if we don't believe in it, then we can also miss out on what God has given us. And the Bible is so clear that God, that Jesus has set us free from the curse of the law, like Galatians 3:13 says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." So in other words, the curse of the law was sickness, was poverty, and eternal death. And all of those things are hanging on the cross of Christ because he took it upon himself. So that we would no longer have to be under the curse of the law, but we could come into the inheritance that we have in Christ, not based on what we have done, not based on how wonderful our life has been, but based on the very fact that God has given it to us in Christ. But of course, it goes back to the heart issue as well, that as God has given it to us, because being prosperous is not just about having the finances. Being prosperous also comes back to our thinking and our heart. Because a person can have a lot of money but not wanting to give anything away. A person can own the biggest riches of the world, but all they think about is themselves. That's not a godly prosperity, I would say. But godly prosperity is that we already know what we have been given in Christ. And out from that, it's an attitude of the heart of giving, the heart of being willing to share, the heart of being willing to give to others and be a blessing to others, and not only in financial matters, but in different areas of life, that out from our hearts, there is that blessing and prosperity that comes from us to others. So it always goes back to the heart. It always goes back to the heart issue. It's not actually about how much we have today, but it starts with the understanding of who we are in Christ, and out from that we can grow, and we can grow as we continue to walk with God in that relationship, as we in a relationship of obedience to him and what he says. And as we do that, we see the blessings, we see the favor of God, and that he meets our needs, and he meets them with overflow so that they can become a blessing to others. Because everything in God is, we have to realize this as well, everything in God is received by faith. Salvation was received by faith. There had to be a confession and receive the gift of salvation. The same thing with the inheritance in God. We need to receive them by faith. We need to realize that it's not about, in a sense, it's not about just doing and doing things, but it's about believing God. Do I believe God? Do I believe when he says that he wants me to prosper? Do I believe when he says he wants my soul to prosper? He wants my work to prosper. Do I believe when he is saying that he is with me? Or is it just a kind of a fairy tale mentality? It's something I've learned, but it has actually not become my conviction. Because it starts with the conviction. It starts with putting things right in the sight of God. And from that, he can start to lead us and guide us and give us the wisdom. If I find myself in financial difficulties right now, like so many people do, and it's maybe that I have done absolutely, maybe a person may have done absolutely nothing to be there, but it's just a crisis that is going on around the world. And at times we may find ourselves in that place. But it's the sense of, how do I look upon it right now? Okay, that's the situation that a person may face. But do I know that God wants to bring me through that? Do I trust that he will bring me through that? Even though there may be a journey to take, even though it will take a little bit of a time, but it's the only thing I see is black hole, financial difficulty, and I just see this black wall in front of me, and there is no hope. Because that's not how God sees it. When God looks upon your future, he says hope. He sees so many good things that he has in store with you. So that may be a situation for a person right now, a financial strain, a financial difficulty. But at the end of the day, we cannot let that become our end station and reality. Because if we know that Christ has won a victory for us and we stress out for it, we know that every step of the way with the wisdom of God, he will lead us through. I'm not talking about that tomorrow you're going to have like 1 million Singapore dollars coming into your bank account. Nothing like that. But step by step, he will bring you through it. He will lead you. He will guide you because he has promised to be there for you. But the things that we need to do is to take him by faith, believe, trust him. Because as 3 John verse 2 tells us, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prosper. It's God's desire that we shall prosper in every area of our life. Yes, There are. I mean, of course, as the Bible says, there are things that, not that life is just going to be like on a silver platter and everything is just going to go so easy until we go to heaven. But in everything that we face, He has given us what He has given us everything so that we can still prosper in those situations. We can still come through and see that God has been true to what He has said. And one of those things I also want to mention in relation to this is that as God has given us the principle of faith, to believe Him, trust Him, stretch out to it. One thing as well in relation to financial side is that there is a principle God has set, and it is called tithing. And we find in Malachi 3 and 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. So the word tells us there is a blessing, a part of what God calls us to do in relation to what He has promised when it comes to that financial blessings in our life, is that there's one thing He says, and that is the tithing. And as the Bible speaks about tithing, it speaks about those 10% to go into the house of God, being our local church. And when it comes to tithing, we also have to realize that we are not tithing or giving offering to receive. That's not our main attitude, to receive something in return. But it arises from obedience. We're obedient to what God has said. It's a part of our response to His word. And in order so there is a system in place as well. And sometimes people will say, I don't understand why God doesn't take care of me. I don't understand why I'm not seeing His financial help, or why I find myself in this situation. And oftentimes, you don't have to look far, except you ask a person, do you tithe? Do you keep that principle as a part of your life? And oftentimes, the answer may be, no, that's not a part of what I do, and I haven't done for the longest time. So we cannot, when it comes to our inheritance in this area, there is a principle. And the principle is tithing. So as we do our part in obedience to God, God does His part in line with the obedience and faith that we are putting in His word and His ways. And it's all here. Don't shoot the messenger. It's a part of His word. And it's a part of what He says. And I believe it's a principle, especially now, that I want to encourage us. Because let's not close off the main source that is God during times like this, but let's keep it even open, more open than before. And let's not compromise in areas like this, because at the end of the day, our finances and our financial sides are not finding their security and hope in the system of the world. Because we have seen it, the system of this world will go up and down in crisis, financial crisis and financial prosperity. But the systems of God will always be in place. And He will be true to what He said. But He also expects us to be true to His word. And because in God, we know that even though everything may crash around us, and even though maybe even at times, even we will find that it is a challenging financial time, but know that you have a God that will bring you through those financial times. There is always a hope at the end of the tunnel. And it's just a matter of not losing sight of what He has said, not losing sight of God, because He and His promises will always be true to our life. And we can always expect that He will give us, sometimes maybe, what is needed to get through those obstacles and those difficult times. It's just to sit down and listen to the voice of God and to hear the wisdom of God, because our help comes from Him. Our help does not come solely from this world or mainly from this world. Our help comes mainly from God. So let's believe for Him to continue to be there for you and me, and to continue to be the God that He has said He is. And there is not time to speak about, but one of those other inheritance we have in God, physical, is healing. It's one of our inheritance in Him. Physical, emotional healing that can be found in Him, not based on what we have done, but based solely on who He is and who we are as children of God. What a wonderful promises we have in Him. We have been adopted into His family, and because of that, we have an inheritance which are also spiritual promises as well as physical realities in our life. So let's stretch out for that. Let's believe and let's see more of God's direction and leading in our lives. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I just praise you and I worship you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your promises, God. We thank you, Father God, that we are the children of the Most High God. The moment we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became children of you, God. And Lord, I just want to pray for each and every one that are listening in, Father. Lord, I just want to stand together with them right now, Father God. And I just pray, Father, for those that are experiencing difficulties in their lives. They're experiencing lack in any area of their lives, Lord. It may be in their spiritual life that it may be in their a part of their physical reality. It may be healing. It may be financial, Lord. And God, I just want to stand together with them right now, Father. And I just pray that you come with your solution into those situations. I pray for those that are in need of a healing, God, that you bring your healing upon their lives. I pray for those that are in need of financial help, Father God. I pray for your wisdom and help in the midst of it, Lord. I pray for those, Father God, that are struggling in the relationship with you, Lord. That, Father God, that you may increase the life, your life in their hearts and in their whole environment, Father God, so they can sense more of your presence, that they can hunger for even more of you than ever before, Lord. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for it, Lord, because it's your doing and it's not our doing. And we thank you that we are heirs with Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. And we praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And before I end, I just want to take this opportunity as well. If you are here among us and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you maybe have heard the preaching today in relation to our inheritance in Christ, and you long to become a children of God. You long to become a children of God that is accepted in God, that has been restored, can be restored in God. Then I just want to ask you and encourage you to pray this prayer along with me. And you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I ask you to forgive me all of my sins. I pray that you become my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again. And today I give you my life. You are my Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, please reach out to us through the comment section, through the link as well. And we would love to engage more with you. So be blessed, everyone, and see you again.